Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are speaking to you from the ballroom of the Spalding Hotel in the city of Duluth, where a testimonial banquet in honor of Mr. Harold E. Stassen, Republican candidate for governor of the state of Minnesota, is now in session. And now may I introduce Mr. Rollo F. Hunt, chairman of the Committee on General Arrangements and past president of the Minnesota State Bar Association. Mr. Hunt.
Ladies and gentlemen, and all of you who may be listening to this broadcast throughout the state of Minnesota, some 500 men and women are gathered here tonight in the Spalding Hotel in Duluth in honor of our guest, Mr. Stassen, a candidate for the Republican nomination for governor of this state. We have not met here for the pleasure and privilege of meeting this man, though it has been a privilege indeed, but because of our interest in the cause of good government. Never more than now has Minnesota needed a leader in this cause. By this, we do not mean that we are looking for an office seeker. There are many of them, and we do not want them. We want a man with the capacity for public service. Such a man is to be our speaker tonight. He has been drafted to make this campaign because of his outstanding character and his demonstrated capacity for public service of the highest order. No candidate for the highest executive office in this state in its entire history has been better qualified to lead us in a fight for an efficient, economical, and an honest government. The favorable reception of his candidacy throughout the state has been most remarkable. This broadcast has been made possible by reason of voluntary contributions sent in by many citizens from all parts of this state who have heard this man's speeches and have decided to support him. It is now a privilege to introduce to you a man whom I know from a long personal acquaintance to be of the highest character, to have capacity to understand and solve Minnesota's problems. Fearless, dynamic in energy, clear in mind, and politically, intellectually, and morally honest. A man whom we are honored in supporting as our candidate for the next governor of this state, the Honorable Harold E. Stassen.
Mr. Hunt, honored guests, friends, 2 weeks ago, here in the city of Duluth and over the radio, you heard the governor of our state deliver a gloomy message of despair and insecurity, a bitter diatribe of intolerance and hate. Tonight, I bring to you a note of optimism, a message of tolerance and understanding, a constructive program for the future. I have great faith in the future of Minnesota. Our state is populated by a splendid people, sons and daughters of every nation of the world. We have unequaled natural resources. We have splendid facilities for transportation. Let us join tonight in a great crusade to build Minnesota. Our most important goal must be more jobs in private employment for the men and women of the state. We now have an unduly large army of the unemployed. Their need is a problem that affects every man and woman of the state. According to the unemployment census, there are over 144,000 men and women in this state who are able to work but are now unemployed. The great majority, by training, by heritage, and by inclination, want to find a job. For example, in this northern section of the state, many of those who need work are of Finnish descent. We need only to look to the splendid record of Finland in paying its war debt to realize that these people, as those of other nationalities, want to be self-supporting in private jobs. If I become your governor, on my first day in office, I will begin to encourage more business in Minnesota. I will invite new factories to locate in our state. I will make the state capital a clearinghouse for communities in the state seeking industries and for capital considering the development and location of factories. There is a trend at the present time in this country to decentralize many of our largest manufacturing concerns. Smaller regional plants are being located to take care of regional needs. Minnesota should secure many of these regional factories. I would do everything in my power to encourage the location of these new developments in Minnesota. I would also foster research in the development of new industrial products from Minnesota raw materials. This will give rise to more jobs for the men and women now unemployed. In this connection, I would recognize that the individual farmer is the backbone of our state. I would see to it that a part of the money now being wasted would be turned over to the College of Agriculture for the specific purpose of research in developing new industrial uses for the products of our farm. I am confident that the future will see Minnesota dotted with small factories, processing new farm products, furnishing more jobs, and paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash returns to the farmers of the state, just as our canning factories, our creameries, and our packing plants do now. To secure more jobs in Minnesota, we must develop a good labor relations policy. I believe that this can best be done by the enactment of a forward-looking Labor Relations Act. As your governor, I would invite progressive employers and sound leaders of labor to work with me in developing such a law. I believe that it should be modeled after the labor relations laws of Norway and Sweden. Those countries have made an outstanding record in the settlement of disputes. They have recognized and defended the rights of labor, and they have avoided the caveman tactics of lockouts and premature strikes and violence. I also recognize that our tourist trade is a major business in Minnesota. As your governor, I would take an active part in building up Minnesota's tourist trade. Our natural resources must be conserved and developed. Our conservation department must concentrate on wildlife and not political life. As your governor, I would lead a parade of tourists to Minnesota instead of a parade in New York. The reduction of taxes in Minnesota is another one of the essential requisites of sound future progress. This can only be done by spending less. If I am your governor, we will spend less. We will cut out the duplications and waste and extravagance of state government. It is significant that this administration, claims to be a friend of labor, but it refuses to give labor, its own employees, the security of tenure, the seniority rights, and the fair treatment that all labor should have and that only a civil service bill can give to state employees. A real civil service law will be the cornerstone of my administration. No one will be required to contribute to any campaign fund to hold a job. But I will make this requirement. No one supporting either communism or fascism will be on the state payroll. As we enter this crusade to build Minnesota, let us not forget this primary fact. There can be no progress in Minnesota as long as that small group of selfish political bosses pull the strings on Capitol Hill. They are not building, they are tearing down. They are not conserving, they are wasting. Theirs is not a true liberal program. It is a vicious political mixture of policies that are reactionary, radical, and racketeering. You had ample proof of this in the recent machine-controlled convention here in Duluth. It was not a convention. It was a puppet show. A handful of men held the strings that controlled the movements and even the vocal cords of the majority of the delegates. It was run by the state employee machine, taking the orders handed down to them. The rank and file, sincere members of that party, found themselves out in the cold. The convention could just as well have been held in a room in a St. Paul hotel, and all the furniture they would have needed is 7 chairs and a table to pound on. The delegates present did not decide a single one of the candidate endorsements. They did not decide the communist issue. They did not lay a single plank for the platform. All of these decisions were made by this small clique which has taken over the Farmer Labor Party of Minnesota. One of their most interesting maneuvers was the drafting of their so-called conservative platform. Apparently, even they have learned of the rising tide of public disapproval. So they decided to try to deceive the people of the state by adopting a platform which they called conservative. That reminds me of a fairy tale, the story of Little Red Riding Hood. The characters are the selfish 7 bosses as the wolf, the founders of the Farmer Labor Party as the grandmother, and the rest of the people as Little Red Riding Hood. As we raise the curtain tonight, the greedy wolf has gobbled up the grandmother. And now, in adopting this platform, the wolf is crawling into grandmother's bed and pulling on grandmother's conservative nightcap to lie in wait for Little Red Riding Hood. But the people of Minnesota will not be deceived. They will look under grandmother's nightcap. They will see the big radical eyes and the big reactionary ears and the big racketeering teeth. If we could not only look under Grandmother's nightcap, but also read minds, we would make some startling discoveries. I believe that we would find that the real platform or program of these few bosses who have taken over the Farmer Labor Party would be something like this. Stir up all the hatred and intolerance we can between groups. Spend all the money we can get and borrow all we can besides. Drive all the business we can out of Minnesota. Keep new businesses from coming in so there'll be more unemployed for us to organize, and eventually we can take over what is left. Keep labor and industry fighting with each other, because if they work out their problems, they'll both turn against us. Keep in touch with the radicals from New York to Seattle. Help the extreme left-wing labor agitators, but keep the rest of labor from getting wise to it. Forget about the farmer, except during elections. Sabotage and undermine the Minnesota WPA organization so our left-wing workers' alliance can rule the unemployed. Defeat the state Senate because they blocked $15 million of appropriations that we wanted to spend. Extract all the money you can from state employees and from people doing business with the state. We see evidence of this intent in a circular handed out here at the Duluth Convention, which undoubtedly is intended for distribution throughout the state. The title of the folder is Eyes on the Senate. And on its cover, we find two large, grotesque eyes peering out at the reader. Within the folder is printed what purports to be a record of the senators and representatives in the last session of the legislature. In looking at this folder, Eyes on the Senate, and at these two large black eyes on the cover, I wondered whose eyes those were that were pictured as being on the Senate. So I looked through the record that they purported to present, and I found that these eyes certainly were not the eyes of the farmers, for farmers were interested in the last session of the legislature in the Farm Bureau Bill, the homestead tax exemption, the mortgage moratorium, the farm repurchase and seed loan bills, and not a single one of the roll calls on these important pieces of legislation is included in the folder. The folder certainly does not represent the eyes of labor, for labor was interested in the last session of the legislature in the civil service bill, unemployment compensation, the amendment of the Workmen's Compensation Act, loan shark legislation, and not a single one of the roll calls on these important pieces of legislation is included in the folder. And we could go on. The men and women of this state were interested in the last session in the controversy over the gas tax, the fair trades bills, the new traffic code, and in the roll calls on economy. Yet not a single one of these roll calls is included in this record. There remains only one conclusion. The large eyes on the cover of this folder, which are on the Senate, are the selfish eyes peering through the weeds on Capitol Hill. They are the eyes of the greedy bosses of our present political machine. They are peering at the Senate because that body frustrated them in their unsound attempt to secure an additional $15 million of appropriations in the last session of the legislature. And I say tonight, and I know you join with me, those eyes, those selfish eyes, are peering in vain. When you see one of these folders, you look at the eyes and then ask yourself whose eyes they are. One of the strange things about the convention here in Duluth particularly about the governor's address to that convention, was the great silence about the record of the present administration. On March 7th, over these same radio stations, I charged the governor and his administration with responsibility for killing service, civil service, and strangling loan shark legislation in the last session of the legislature, with responsibility for the high income taxes on small incomes, with encouraging violence in strikes, with inciting class hatred and intolerance, with fomenting a disrespect for law, with cooperating with radical activities from New York to Seattle. I further charge that the governor's political machine was racketeering in its attempt to place the state in the liquor business and in the collections that it makes from the employees and those doing business with the state. The governor has not denied a single one of those charges. He cannot deny them. They are a part of the record. The only thing left for him to do was to talk about the international situation, and that is what he did. He is the first governor that Minnesota ever had that did not defend his own administration in his own convention. Since the governor has not denied my previous charges, I should like to ask him a new question tonight. I am reliably informed that thousands of dollars were sent into Minnesota from left-wing elements in the East to support the governor in the last campaign. So I ask the governor tonight to tell the people whether this is true. If it is true, how much money was sent in from outside of Minnesota? Who sent it in? What, if anything, did you agree to do in return? Does this money have any connection with the smothering of controversial issues in your Duluth convention? Does it have any connection with your leading a parade in New York? Does it have any connection with the praise that you received this week from Earl Browder, the Secretary of the Communist Party? The governor has often indicated that he does not believe that money from Wall Street should control Minnesota. I agree with him. And I go further. I do not believe that money from Wall Street or from any other New York street should control Minnesota politics. Friends, in the face of this record of our present state administration, is it any wonder that the conviction grows from one end of our state to the other that the first step of progress in Minnesota will be a change in our state administration? And let us not forget that to build Minnesota, to make it a state of happy American homes, to place its men at work in private business, will take more than a change in state government. It will take a sound, constructive, and progressive program for the future welfare of the men and women of every walk of life. There is only one way this year that we can bring about this change in government and secure a constructive program. That way is to rebuild and revitalize the Republican Party. That way is to make the Republican Party an instrument that can be used by the voters of all parties to pull the weeds out of Capitol Hill. That way is to make this Republican Party responsive to the rank and file of the people of the state. Friends, I greatly appreciate the enthusiasm shown here tonight and the splendid volunteer support that we have been receiving throughout the state. I invite you listeners tonight to write to me. Give me your suggestions and your help. Join with us in a great crusade to build a greater Minnesota.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard an address by Mr. Harold E. Stassen, Republican candidate for governor of the state of Minnesota. This address came to you from the ballroom of the Spaulding Hotel in the city of Duluth through the facilities of station WEBC Duluth Superior. We now return you to your respective studios.